Hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of OKC Over Easy. Today, I am joined by my good friend, Carrie Bloomer. She is running for county commissioner in Oklahoma County, and she also is just a great person. And she's a vegetarian. She loves food. She loves to cook. So we cover all of those topics. And it was just a really, really fun episode. It's a little bit longer because we were having so much fun. So everybody, enjoy the episode. Some updates, I guess. There's new blog posts on overeasy.blog if you're interested in that. And then if you don't follow me on Instagram, pull out your phone, search OKC Over Easy, and hit that follow button. I would love for you to see all my updates there. So this episode is sponsored in part by Coop Ale Works. So thank you, Coop, for providing the beer for me and my guests today. And let's just get right into the show. Hi.
Hi.
I'm just starting out with the hi because I already have like all the intros and I was doing the intro twice and this is just how it's going to be. My friend Carrie B is here.
Hi.
Hashtag Carrie B for OKC. Okay, so you just went to brunch. Where did you go to brunch at?
I was at a friend's house.
Okay.
And they cooked me, it's my friends Rachel and Matthew and they just had a little baby.
Mm.
So they cooked me this amazing omelet, like a cheese omelet. An avocado, and we had fruit and toast, and they got this really nice espresso machine.
Okay.
And so they made me a really nice coffee.
Ooh,
so,
it was an espresso?
It was not an espresso because I have an espresso machine.
Ooh, let's talk about
that
it.
I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
I don't know what their machine was. So my espresso machine, you put the pods in, and it can froth milk, and it can do single espresso shots, or you can put two pods in for two espresso shots.
Okay, so I have one too,
okay,
and I have a lot of opinions about it. I've almost had it for a year, and sometimes I love it, and sometimes I'm like, whenever I have to order the pods,
they're expensive.
They're very expensive, and I feel like I'm wasting so much packaging.
Do you get the recycling bag?
No, I haven't gotten that. I haven't ever gotten that.
So it's free.
Okay.
And you just put all your pods in the recycling bag and you mail it back to them.
And they will recycle it.
They claim they'll recycle it. Okay. I don't physically see the recycling.
Every time we put them all in like a big bowl.
Yes.
And so I'm like, why is there so much cardboard in this?
I know.
But I just put in an order and I was like, okay, I am spending $100 on coffee
now. I mean, if you're going to replace your like daily coffee run with an espresso, it's cheaper.
Yeah, it is.
You're just paying up front.
Yes. It was rough. But I have to recommend, you have to go order it. They have these new pods that are like the iced.
I saw that, but I didn't know what that.
I didn't
how
really,
that worked.
I didn't really know either, but I was like, I'm gonna take a chance and see. So I got the Espirio Shakero something.
Their names mean nothing.
I
to
was
me.
Like, this episode is sponsored by Nespresso. No, I'm just kidding. But I got the one that you're supposed to put in a shaker with ice. So we have a cocktail shaker and we use it, you know, pretty regularly. So I just put ice, milk, and a little heavy cream into the shaker. And then I turned on the espresso machine and like brewed the espresso. And then I shook it in the cocktail shaker.
So does it come out hot?
It comes out like mid range. It's not like super hot.
Okay.
And I shook it in the cocktail shaker and it was like a perfect little latte treat.
Oh, I gotta try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really, really good. So I'll have to send it to you. I'm going to post on my Instagram story about it because I was very surprised at how much I liked it. It was really good.
How would you feel about being sponsored by Nespresso?
Nespresso, please reach out if you'd like to sponsor this podcast. Okay, so Carrie B's here, and we are going to jump into the segments that we usually do. So, Eat of the Week. You were like, I've been listening to the podcast. I know all the segments. I'm ready.
I listen to the podcast when I walk my dog.
See, I love that.
Eat of the Week. So I just finished up a portion of my campaign.
Yes.
So during my campaign, I really didn't eat out that much.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, let's eat out every day.
And you're kind of like, you just came off your runoff election and correct. You won. So you're yes. celebrating a little
yes.
bit too.
Yes. I think I went out. So my runoff election was Tuesday. I went out with friends Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Good. Get it. Get your life.
I mean. Okay. Eat of the week. I'm going to name a couple.
Okay.
So I'm really digging the Jones Assembly right now. Of which course. Isn't.
Yeah.
Where else have I eaten lately?
What did you have at the Jones Assembly? Was it?
I always get their like snacks and appetizers.
Okay.
So they're the eggs, the
deviled fried.
Thank
deviled
you. Egg? The deviled eggs.
Okay. Yeah.
I got this like, I don't even know what it was called. I got this on Thursday. It's this big piece of pita bread
mm-hmm.
and it comes with three dips. Oh, the dips.
Yeah.
And then you like pop the bread mm-hmm. and it's this hot.
Because they cook it in that
so good.
That stone oven
yes.
where the pizza goes. So, yeah.
Yes. And then I've had their Impossible Burger.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's really into this Impossible Burger mm-hmm. where it's like, it's supposed to taste exactly like meat
mm-hmm.
and it's not meat. And I just, it tasted fake to me.
Right.
I didn't like it.
And you're a vegetarian.
Correct.
So you have
so the- I've had my fair share of veggie burgers. And this just, I would rather have like a black bean burger mm-hmm. than this like fake meat
stuff. Right. Because I don't know. How long have you been a vegetarian?
Like 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So you may be craving like an actual burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're yeah. like, I've been a vegetarian since I was 12, you're like, you've probably forgotten what it tastes like what a burger tastes like. So you're like, it's just a bread and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jones Assembly, where else have I eaten lately? Hall's Pizza Kitchen is
ugh, like it's the best.
One of my favorite restaurants yeah. in Oklahoma City. I tried Bar
Arbolada. That's me every single
Arbidola,
episode.
Arbolada.
Barbadola. Let's just call it Bar A. That's like okay. what that's the new name of that bar okay. on this podcast.
I tried that last week.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. We got a bottle of rosé mm-hmm. and then I ate an entire tray of corn fritters
ooh,
by myself.
Nice.
I will say the acoustics were horrible.
Oh.
Like I was yelling okay. to talk across the table to my friends.
Was it like crazy busy?
It was very busy.
Okay.
It was in the evening.
Uh-huh.
So happy hour. They had the music up very loud,
uh-huh.
and I told my sister I would pay for her drink if she went up and asked them to turn it down.
Did she?
She wouldn't do it.
Okay.
But the corn fritters were delicious. They had honey drizzled on them. Mm-hmm. They were hot.
Yeah. I mean, a fritter, anything that's a fritter is going to be good. Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, during the campaign, I...
What did you eat?
Oh my gosh.
Because I know... from our mutual friend Cindy Munson, that the days of knocking doors are hard
yeah.
because you knock doors and talk to people about your campaign until the sun goes down.
Hours and hours, and then you get home and you're exhausted.
Yeah, you don't want to cook anything.
No, you don't want to cook. Like, I tried the HelloFresh box one time, mm-hmm. and that was... I couldn't even do that.
And I don't cook. Like, yeah. And I don't walk, you know, up and down the streets, you know.
Yeah.
Talking.
So I used to cook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Before the campaign, I cooked all the time. I loved cooking. It was like a stress reliever for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved trying new recipes. I loved making up my own recipes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much non-existent mm-hmm. during the campaign.
Yeah.
So I ate a lot of stuff that was just quick and easy. Mm-hmm. Like I would go, sometimes I'd go pick up Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd make like a frozen pizza from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
I would make like a snack plate mm-hmm. with hummus and cheese and veggies.
We did that the other night. It was like appetizer night. So I made like the little pigs in a blanket from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And then we had like, you know, veggies and fruit and, you know, some bread and hummus. Yeah.
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 So I did snack plates a lot. I would do mac and cheese.
yeah.
Of course. Just easy stuff that I wasn't really looking for super healthy.
Right.
I just wanted something to make me feel good and
yeah.
I could go to bed not hungry.
What is your, so I have like, everybody has like a comfort food that like you always default to whenever you, mine is noodles and butter. So like, I'll just make.
If you guys can't see my face right now, it's like, what?
I'll just make pasta and then I'll just put some butter and salt on it and I'll eat it.
Okay.
Do you have anything that like
that?
That
is not my comfort food. mac and cheese is definitely up there.
Okay. Like Kraft mac and cheese, or like what are you talking here?
I like the Annie's organic shells and cheese.
Okay.
I'm a millennial.
Okay.
When I am really feeling like, screw this day, mm-hmm. I'm hungry, I don't care about anything anymore, I will order a large thin crust pizza mm-hmm. from Pizza Hut.
Okay.
Which I realize Pizza Hut is not really cool.
Yeah. It's no Domino's.
No. But there's something about their large flat or thin crust cheese pizza that I you just like. Love.
Yeah. Yeah. I would order Mazzio's whenever I lived alone. I would get like a calzone in like the ranch. And then I would just have it for like ever. But we ate Mazzio's twice in like 2 or 3 weeks, and Mike got sick both times. So we were like,
he got sick twice?
Yeah. We were like, I think there's too much grease in there. So we kind of have.
I mean, I do work for the health department. You can turn that shit in.
Oh, yes. One time, I will edit this out, but one time I got food poisoning from the Hideaway Ranch, but it was the old Hideaway on Western, not the new Hideaway. Okay. So ever since then, I've been like,
oh.
Okay. So you have your favorite restaurants. Yes. We're going to talk about grocery shopping because you said you love grocery shopping. And let me tell you that Carrie has given me a very valuable piece of information in my life and that I've used for the past 3 summers.
Oh, my. Oh.
And it's the pool.
I didn't get to go this summer.
The apartment pool. I think I went twice.
Okay.
I didn't go a ton.
It is a secret apartment pool. I don't know if we can tell you where
it is.
No,
we're not going to say the address of it.
It is Oklahoma City's hidden gem.
Yeah.
It's a nice pool. It's never crowded.
You can walk right in. Yeah,
they don't ask you if you live there.
Yeah.
You can bring alcohol.
Yeah. You can bring a cooler.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But I remember one time we were there together and we were talking about the grocery gauntlet. Because yes. I was doing the grocery gauntlet. And you love grocery shopping. So tell me about where you grocery shop and what you love about it.
Okay. So I used to be a Sprouts only girl.
Okay.
That I used to go there every single Sunday, never went anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trader Joe's came along.
Yeah.
And then recently I've gotten into the new Homeland.
Oh, okay.
Because it's 6 minutes from my house.
Okay.
I timed it one day. So I would say right now it's Trader Joe's, Homeland, and occasionally Whole Foods.
Okay.
I went to Whole Foods the other day thinking I was going to buy coconut water, and I spent $97.
That's the worst.
So I have to go in there thinking I'm going to spend like 5 times what I thought I was going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But for normal everyday groceries, I would say Trader Joe's and Homeland. Mm-hmm.
I've been on a Aldi and Trader Joe's vibe lately.
I don't think I've ever actually shopped at Aldi.
I'll have to take you for your first time because there's a lot of confusing things.
Isn't there a new one on May and 50th?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the one I go to now.
Okay.
So there is one by my work, which was on Memorial May. So sometimes I would go there like on my way home. But I go at 9 a.m. when they open to the one on 50th and May because it gets kind of crazy sometimes. But you have to take a quarter to get your cart.
Get your cart.
And then you have to have your bags. But there was this tweet, and I always think about it like when I'm at Aldi, and it's like this guy saying, like, when I'm a kid, man, my parents shop at Aldi, like, we're so poor, like, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, when I'm an adult, look at all this weird shit that I got at Aldi. I'm like, literally, I'm like, oh, green jalapeno paste. Yeah, I need that. Like, it's just like you throw it in your cart.
So explain to me how Aldi and Trader Joe's are the same.
They are the same because they source their products from the same distributor, but they slap the Aldi sticker on it and they slap the Trader Joe's sticker on it. Trader Joe's has more
selection
and more trendy foods.
Okay.
Aldi is for like your average someone that's going to be going to Walmart, they don't need a cauliflower rice bowl with tahini dressing or what. I bought that today at Trader Joe's. But it's like, they don't need that. They need just like chicken thighs and they need, you know, sausage and they need frozen shrimp or whatever.
Okay.
So
same price point?
Yeah.
Same price.
So the goat cheese, which I've been really into goat cheese lately, the goat cheese at Aldi, I bought it at Aldi, it was like $2.29, and it was the same price at Trader Joe's.
Okay.
So there are some things that are the same. So they had this like cilantro yogurt dressing at both Aldi and Trader Joe's, and it had the exact same ingredients in it, but it was just marketed differently.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So Aldi is like really good for your pantry staples, your flour, your whatever, because they're not going to market up a little bit like Trader Joe's is.
Okay.
But Trader Joe's is good for like your cauliflower gnocchi, you know? Yeah. So
I have noticed with Sprouts and Trader Joe's that I can go into Sprouts and buy like my groceries for the week and it's like $100.
Yeah.
And I can go into Trader Joe's and buy my groceries for the week and it's like $60.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So much less expensive.
I don't love the produce at Trader Joe's.
No. It's not as good as Sprouts.
Aldi's pretty good though.
Okay.
But if you're like, I need leeks, you might not find that at Aldi.
Okay. Okay.
But you're going to find tomatoes. You're going to find jalapenos. Okay. You're going to find whatever.
We can go.
I'll take you. Okay. It's a lazy river. It's the best. I cannot wait until you guys, October 1, when the wine happens. Wine is going to be everywhere. Wine and beer.
So, okay. What? So grocery stores are going to sell wine and beer. Can liquor stores sell beer cold?
Yes.
So like they can sell Coop beer cold.
Literally, Byron's has installed a giant freezer or a giant like cold beer
walk-in
case.
Fridge.
Yeah.
So someone tweeted at me the other day that it is up to the county commissioners to put on the ballot to decide if liquor stores can be open on Sundays.
Ooh, for the November election? Or for...
I don't think it would be for this election. I think it's just for future elections.
Okay.
So someone tweeted at me like, if you get elected, would you fight to put this on the ballot?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, well, yeah, if it's going to bring in more sales tax money and if the owners of those stores are in support of it, like let the people vote on it.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying with that decision, I'm not necessarily saying I support it or not support it. I just support people being able to vote on it.
Right. To make the choice.
If, yeah.
Which is like, it's kind of a crazy prohibition era.
It's like, why do we, I realize Sunday for a lot of people is a very like special day and has a lot of meaning, but why are we picking this one day of the week where it's like, quote, wrong.
Right.
To sell alcohol.
And then Monday morning at
10 a.m. it's okay now.
Yeah. It's weird. And then I'm like, let's get Chick-fil-A open then. Let's get it open.
That'll happen.
Okay, so we've kind of already segued into it, but everybody meet Carrie.
Hi.
What is your day job right now?
So my day job, I work for the Oklahoma City County Health Department.
Okay.
So just FYI, we are very separate from the state health department.
Okay.
We're kind of our own government entity. Mm-hmm. So we get funding from your property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we are kind of an arm of the city and the county.
Okay.
So I manage all of our community partnerships.
Yeah.
And our coalition.
Okay.
Which includes projects that you all may have heard of, like Open Streets.
Yes.
Our new mobile market.
Mm-hmm.
And then our coalition has several working groups that tackle different health issues in the community. And I'm kind of the mediator of all these agencies working together on projects.
And you've been doing that for how long?
So I've been at the health department for 5 years.
Okay.
I've been in my current role for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a couple different jobs there.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the mobile market, because I remember when, and don't fall.
I almost fall off my chair.
Because I remember when we were at the pool, we were talking about grocery stores, you were like, this is happening. Like, it was in, like, the planning phases.
Yeah. So, a couple years ago, the Oklahoma Beverage Association, which is now Southwest Coca-Cola Bottling Company.
Okay.
It's basically, like, the local company that manages all Coca-Cola products, mm-hmm. like distribution. So they gave us meaning City County Health, they gave us this old Coca-Cola delivery truck, mm-hmm. a 16-foot truck. So not like a huge semi, but a pretty big truck. Mm-hmm. They just gave us this truck. I was not in my position, my current position, when they gave the truck to us. So I'm not sure if they gave it to us with the intention of using it for getting fresh food out into the community. I assume that's why they gave it to us. So it is we have this truck. We sent it down to San Antonio to this company called Cruising Kitchens.
Okay.
And they retrofitted the whole inside have shelving and refrigeration and like prep space and a serving window. Mm-hmm. And then they brought the truck back. So it's a partnership between City County Health, the regional food bank, now Southwest. I really need to get their
Coca-Cola.
Name right.
Coca-Cola.
Southwest Coca-Cola Beverages.
Okay.
And several of our board members put in some money to help with it. Mm-hmm. And then right now we're kind of in a partnership with Metro Technology Centers.
Okay.
So the truck, if you ever see it, the wrap around the outside of it is like bright, really bright big fruits and vegetables. And it says OKC Mobile Market. So mm-hmm. it's pretty hard to miss. So the original intention was to fill this truck with fruits, vegetables, shelf stable items, poultry, meat, like meat, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. So like a mini grocery store, mm-hmm. and, take it into neighborhoods that have really bad access to grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Typically we call them food deserts.
Okay.
So there's certain zip codes in the county mm-hmm. that are deemed food deserts.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in those zip codes get their will go to the gas station or like the mom and pop mm-hmm. corner store to get some of their food.
Yeah.
And obviously we know there's not mm-hmm. a lot of healthy options there.
Yeah.
So that was the original purpose. We, after kind of going round and round, with the food bank and trying to figure out how are we going to price this? Like, this is really a small business. Mm-hmm. Who is going to manage the money? Mm-hmm. Is this really going to be a huge barrier for some people? So we have moved more into using it just as a point of distribution. Mm-hmm. And we're just doing fruits and vegetables for right now.
Okay.
So we've taken the truck out, I think, 4 times. Mm-hmm. And we work with the food bank. Sometimes we purchase food from the food bank and they're kind of like our middleman.
Okay.
So they work with their wholesale suppliers. And so I'll order like pineapples, carrots, bell peppers, celery, and strawberries. Mm-hmm. And some of it is donated items that the food bank is already planning to give away. And some of it we purchase through the food bank. So like we went out this past Thursday. We went to, and the partnership was with Metro Tech is that we go and serve their students.
Oh, okay.
And it's completely free. So we took out the business model of having people pay for items, and we're just trying it out with just giving away. Everyone walks up and can get a 10-pound bag.
See, that's awesome.
Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's great.
And so we've gone out to Metro Tech 3 times. We had the truck at 2 other community events, so I guess we've taken it out 5 times. But we kind of worked with Metro Tech just to get our feet wet and figure out like from A to Z, what does this look like? Who does what? Mm-hmm. Like how long does it take? Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we've kind of gotten a system down. Now we are really wanting to take the truck into neighborhoods.
Okay.
And making it a lot more neighborhood based mm-hmm. and getting volunteers from neighborhoods and maybe even like offering them a stipend. Mm-hmm. And so really making the truck more of a local neighborhood thing.
Yeah.
Where people learn, oh, every Monday the truck is in my neighborhood at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a little bit of surveying of our participants at Metro Tech to figure out how they would rate their food insecurity. Mm-hmm. So we ask questions on a survey, like an anonymous survey, like how often are you worried that you won't have enough food to make it to the end of the month?
Yeah.
So that's like a way to gauge someone's food security.
Okay.
So a lot of the neighborhoods we're wanting to go into, or they're all food deserts. They're mm-hmm. all within our target zip codes. Mm-hmm. The city of Oklahoma City has kind of picked out a few neighborhoods that they want to work with us on and getting the truck to go to those neighborhoods. So it's a work in progress. We've, like I said, we've taken it out 4 or 5 times. It's really fun to work on.
Yeah.
Like when people walk up, they're seeing their faces is really cool.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wait, this is free.
Yeah.
Like, and it's good produce.
It's good
produce. It's not like crappy produce that the food bank wants to get rid of. Like, it is nice stuff. There's strawberries sitting here in front of me that I brought. So on Thursday, we gave away strawberries, mangoes, bell peppers. Oh, what else did we do? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And we always include recipes in the bag too. So everyone can go home and try a new recipe.
Yeah.
So that is the OKC Mobile Market. We have funding to keep it going in this way for probably like a year.
Okay.
And so after a year, we'll probably start looking for outside funding, maybe some grant funding.
Yeah.
I'd like it to go out 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I'd like it to have 5 neighborhoods that it's in and the community gets to know, oh, it's here on every Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Especially those neighborhoods, like you said, that are like food deserts.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Because they just go to the corner store and get donuts or whatever. Like, yeah.
And we know that this is not really what these people need is a healthy grocery store in their neighborhood that has easy access. They can take the bus there. They can walk there. There's sidewalks. So we know that that ultimately is
like the goal,
the end goal. But this is more of a we are trying to insert ourselves into this community, get people a little more access for a brief amount of time, maybe change some of their eating habits, and some of their cooking behaviors, and partner with the community. We've had a lot of groups contact us saying, oh, we want to do a cooking demo with the truck, or we want to have our walking club like volunteer on the truck. So there's a lot of opportunities to partner with stuff that's already going on in these neighborhoods.
Well, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's great. No, yeah. I remember you talking about it and being like, we just got this truck, but we're not sure. So it's cool to see that come to fruition. Yeah. And you're a woman of many talents, but you're also running for county commissioner.
Yes.
And local politics is really hot right now.
It is.
Everybody's into it.
I love that it's really hot because I was into it before it was cool.
So tell me and tell the listeners, just a layman's term, what does a county commissioner do?
Okay. That's a very good question. Can we also link them to my infographic?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's an infographic that we made that's really easy to understand.
I will put it in the show notes.
Okay. And the infographic explains what a county commissioner does.
Mm-hmm.
So in Oklahoma, every single county has 3 county commissioners, no matter how big or small or how large or small their population is.
Okay.
So Oklahoma County has 3 county commissioners and they are elected from districts.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we are in District 1 right now, which is the district I'm running in.
Okay. You're in my district, wherever you are, because I'm still registered to vote at that old house.
Yes.
So I go to the 48th Street Baptist Church, and I'm like, vote for Carrie Bloomberg.
Yes. So they basically oversee where all of your property tax, how all of your property taxes are spent.
Okay.
So if you hear ad valorem taxes, that's basically your property taxes.
Okay.
So if you own your property every year, you probably get a letter in the mail from the county assessor stating how much your property value is, how much in taxes the county took last year, and where all that
is going.
For the most part, where all that went.
Okay.
So included in that is roads and bridges that are rural, so not within the bounds of a city.
Okay.
So when I knock on people's doors, they're like, oh, there's a pothole in front of my street. Are you going to fix that? And I'll say, well, that's actually like within the jurisdiction of city council. So that would be a call to your city council person.
Yeah.
So county commissioners oversee rural roads and bridges.
Okay.
The repavement and construction and all of that with rural bridges and roads. Then they oversee basically the whole county criminal justice system.
Okay.
Which includes our county jail, our county courthouse, and our county juvenile justice center.
Okay.
They make sure the library system is funded. They allocate money to the city county health department. And then they also fund the county pharmacy.
Okay.
And then some other social services. They pay for like one line of the Embark bus system. That's kind of considered a county like rural line. I think they fund some transportation for a few like county operated senior centers.
Okay.
So their job is kind of 3 parts. It's this roads and bridges piece, criminal justice matters, and social services,
which is like all huge. I mean, it's all huge. Like,
so thank God there's three of them.
Yeah.
Three of them. They sort of function like the CEO of county dollars. So any spending by the county, any bid that goes out, any new building that's built, they approve all of that.
Okay.
Or disapprove all of that. So it's not like, so a, if you think of a state senator who is in session 4 to 5 months a year and they are drafting legislation and they're voting yes or no on certain bills, a county commissioner's job is a lot different than that. They, it's a full-time job. It's 4 years. Once you're elected, you serve for 4 years.
Okay.
It's full-time. It's paid, you're paid a living wage. You're actually paid very well compared to state senators and House members. So it's, I mean, it is a full, you could make it into a career.
Yeah.
There's no term limits, which I think is kind of odd.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whereas state senators and state House members, I think it's 12 years.
Okay.
I think. So that is what a county commissioner does.
So, so the spot that you're running for, is there just one open, or is there three open right now?
Right now, how does it work? Two open because the woman who sits in District One is retiring.
Oh, okay.
And the guy who sits in District Three is also retiring.
Okay.
So Willa Johnson holds the seat now that I'm running for, but she's retiring. And then Commissioner Ray Vaughn
is retiring.
Okay. So, and it alternates. So in 2020, District 2 will be up for election.
Okay.
So there's never a time where all three commissioners are brand new.
So, okay. So you, you just won your runoff election. And then you have a Republican opponent.
Yes.
Can you guys both get elected?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know how that works.
So I had my primary in June. And there was, so side note, I think county politics should not be partisan.
Okay.
I think it should be nonpartisan, but it's partisan.
Yeah.
So I'm running as a Democrat. There were four of us Democrats who were running and two Republicans.
Okay.
So in June, if you were registered as a Democrat in our district, you voted in the Democrat primary and there's four names on your ballot.
Yeah.
And then if you were a registered Republican, there were two names on your ballot. So in June, because I didn't win, you have to win at least 50% of the vote.
But you got pretty close to it, right?
I got 46%.
Okay, yeah.
So I was really close. So when you don't win 50%, the top two vote getters go to a runoff in August.
Okay.
So there was a Democrat runoff to see who, which Democrat should go to the November ticket. Because there's only two Republicans, whoever won in June just goes to November.
Okay.
So now I'll face off against the Republican in November and whoever wins is becomes the county commissioner.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody go vote for Carrie V. Hashtag elect women. What's your, what's your website that people can go and read about kind of what you're about, what you're into.
It is just carriebloomert.com.
Awesome. So go educate yourself on your local politics, because I mean, I feel like it is pretty hot right now. Like lots of people are talking about it. It's a good time, because before I was like, oh, I'm not going to vote in a runoff election. But now like people that I know are running and then it's like everybody kind of has an opinion. I think that's probably one thing that, one good thing that has come from like the Trump, you know,
lots presidential. Of women running and lots of, so I'm part
and I pay
of,
more attention to it.
Yes. So there's an organization called Run for Something. It's a national organization and they, their number one goal is to get people under 40 to run for local office. And so they, this is their first, they've only been around for like 6 or 8 months.
Okay.
They're pretty new.
Yeah.
No, maybe a little bit longer than that. Maybe they, oh, I think they started right after the inauguration.
Where are they based in?
New York.
New York? Okay. I didn't know if they were like local or national.
They have staff all over the country.
Cool.
So they are, what they're doing is endorsing local candidates and then providing them training if they need it, like training and support. And so I got endorsed by them, and it's been really cool to, I mean, they've endorsed like across the country, like hundreds of local candidates.
Yeah.
Like city council, county commissioner, like school board, any local election you can think of, they've gotten involved in. Mm-hmm. And their goal is just to get young people to run for local office.
I mean, it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more voices. We need people of color. We need women. Yes. We need minority. Yes. Like we need all that.
Yes. And local government, here I am like really nerding out. Local government has a lot more effect on your daily life than what's going on in DC.
Right.
And even what's going on at the state capitol.
Yeah.
Because think about if there's a pothole in front of your house, it's a lot more annoying. You see that every single day.
Yeah.
Or if, let's say you're a stay-at-home mom and you take your kids to the library and your library shuts down.
Yeah.
Like it's all these little things that you don't think about that are local government.
Yeah. And when it comes to like the national level, it's so in everybody's face if you let it be.
Yes.
So it's like, that's what.
Yes.
I listened to Up First, the NPR podcast Up First. Have you ever listened to it?
No.
It's like 12 minutes long.
Okay.
It tells you what you need to know for the day on the national level. And then I shut it off. Like, ooh, I'm done.
I should do that.
Yeah. So I listen to it every morning, like when I'm taking a shower.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like, these are the top three stories. And if there's something really crazy going on, I'll listen to The Daily. The Daily it's like 24 minutes.
Okay.
And they do like a big story and then they have like, but then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to engage in that.
I
life
don't have a TV.
Okay.
I get all of my news from apps on my phone or Twitter.
Yeah.
But
it's so funny when I go home and talk to my parents and they're like, do you know about Kevin Stitt? And I'm like, not really. I mean.
And I like not having a TV.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how to describe this. I feel privileged to not have a TV.
Yeah.
Like I get to tune that stuff out.
Yes. That's because so true.
Yeah. Because it would just, I know my anxiety, and I know if I were to watch CNN every morning, I would die from anxiety. Like when I travel for work, watching TV when I get ready in the morning is like a treat.
Yes.
Like watching the Today Show or Good Morning America, it's a treat.
Yeah.
And if I were to do that every morning at home, it would just, my anxiety level would go through the roof.
When it comes to that, I'm like, I am too busy trying to get out the door in the morning. Like I don't have time to I need to be better. I used to be a crazy morning person. I need to be better at being a morning person. Okay, so everybody go visit carriebloomer.com.
You can also, I'm pretty active on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I love your Instagram. I love the fact you post. Oh, Pop, I will get down with it. But let's talk about Delaware.
What does it say?
Lifesavers.
Okay, well, that's not a Halloween candy. That's just a lifetime candy.
I know. up in the East Coast, we got a lot of Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, New York loves a Sour Patch.
Maine, Massachusetts.
We don't have money for that.
No, we don't.
If somebody was handing them out, I'd be like, what?
We'll come to our house on Halloween. We are handing out Sour Patch Kids.
Wow.
We bought about $50 worth of candy because we heard that the kids cometh on our street.
That's cool.
So Mike kind of went a little overboard. Let's also talk about Lemonheads, Louisiana. Why?
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I mean, it really is it like, I want to see the city breakdown. I want to know, is it closer to New Orleans?
I know.
Like,
I want to see the city
which
breakdown.
Is basically not part of the United States. Like, I need to know.
So that everybody, I'll link to it in the blog post. So everybody go look at that map. I was kind of freaking out about it. And now we're going to take go trick-or-treating and we'll determine your emotional age.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this quiz to you. First, pick a costume. Darth Vader, Pikachu, Elsa, Pennywise, or a pickle. Or I'm not dressing up.
Pikachu.
I've been
Pikachu before. Like, it feels right.
Pick a house to trick-or-treat at. Oh, there's like a nice house, a scary house, a New Orleans house, a house with green shutters. God, BuzzFeed employees, how do you get paid? A house with like a ghoul on the top and then one that's just like all spider webs. Can you see it?
I want one that's like cute Halloween, not like scary Halloween.
Okay. That one's scary. Okay, picking that one. Pick a piece of candy. Tootsie Pop, Crunch, Twix, Laffy Taffy, Butterfinger, Smarties. Twix.
Oh, yeah, obviously Twix. Sorry, yeah. I didn't hear that. I was like, I don't know.
Pick another. Gutties.
Yeah, of course, Twizzlers.
Which is Twizzlers. Throwback to the first episode. Yeah. Please go listen to it. Not candy corn. Okay. Okay, pick one more candy before your teeth rot. Reese's, Starburst, Hershey's, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles, Milky Way.
Reese's.
Yeah. Pick a type of M&Ms. Ooh. Peanut, crispy, pretzel, regular, white chocolate, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Obviously.
Do not at me. Do not at me. It's peanut butter.
It's the best M&M. You must be hungry after all that trick-or-treating. Pick something to eat. Pizza, nachos, mac and cheese, mozzarella sticks, PB&J, or ramen.
Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Your emotional age is 50. Don't take this the wrong way. You're an old soul, but that's not a bad thing. You're wise, mature, and sensible. Your hobbies probably include reading by the fire, knitting, and book clubs. Oh, and you probably chose Twizzlers.
Wow. I'm very into reading. I'm a bit of a bookworm.
Are we going to finish that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Bryce is an old soul, I have to say. So these are some listener suggestions, I guess. Candy corn debate. We've already talked about that.
Sure.
I like it. It's wax. I agree. It's not good.
Yeah, it's just not. But there's never a time when you should eat it.
Except for Halloween.
No, you don't need to eat it.
Okay. You just need to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's around.
Okay. Best local psychics. I could probably cover this one.
I'm happy to hear.
There is Phyllis. Okay. And I love Phyllis. She was actually just in a issue of 4 or 5 magazine. So pick up 4 or 5 magazine. There's an article about my energist, Phyllis, in there. Awesome. And that's who I would recommend. But best local haunted house.
I've never been to a haunted house here. Like what?
I know. I haven't either.
Purple Church? What do you want me to say?
Shout out to
EOC.
EOC. Eastern Oklahoma County. The Purple Church is probably like the best one. Did you go into the Purple Church?
I've never been there.
You've never been there?
Uh-uh.
We just went down the road. We couldn't find it. We have lots and lots of friends that have gone to the Purple Church. Tweet us if you have heard of the Purple Church or been there.
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube and look at a video about the Purple Church. I've been to Fright Fest. I don't know if that's what they mean.
Okay.
And it was fun.
Okay. When you were young or like recently?
Recently.
Okay.
In the past couple years. Haunted houses. I don't really. This is a terrible spookacy over easy. okay. Here's a question from Garrett. If you were going as a sound, what sound would you be and how would you pull it off?
Do you have an answer for this?
Well, the noon siren, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And you have like a big siren, like a megaphone type thing. And then a Saturday siren from Coop Ale Works.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Saturday siren and it's all you can drink the whole night.
Yeah. Just because the siren just went off. That's how I
totally
thought of that one. What would you be?
I love your idea. I think it's really good. I think I can come up with the idea. I can't execute the idea. Okay. So it's like,
what sound would you be?
I feel like it's got to be something local. And so it's like, what else is there?
The Saturday siren.
That's
actually a really good costume idea.
Right. It's like when that Twitter account came out and everyone was like, oh my God, Noon NATO is so good.
Literally someone did 5 minutes of work on that.
Yeah.
And then they get retweeted all the time.
Totally. Does it still go?
I think so.
Got to. Yeah.
You can't. I don't follow it.
Who would?
Yeah.
You just remember it. Look it up. Tweet it. I don't know.
I should do that right now. Let's talk about the death of the Gazette Halloween parade.
I've never been. It's probably my fault.
It is your fault. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been either. But the Spy used to sponsor it. So it's like.
Mm-hmm. Was it downtown?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking up Noon NATO. 5 minutes ago. Still going. It has 3,000 followers.
Who?
The phase in the 80s when Halloween candy had to be checked for razor blades. actually, My Favorite Murder did do an episode where they talked about Halloween candy that had drugs and razor blades and all sorts of stuff. It's mainly just like a fear tactic thing, but there are some like cases where it actually happened. But most of them... I think there was like one or two that she talked about that was like actually intentional. Most of them were like an accident.
Yeah.
So I guess there's one that's really funny. This guy who worked at the post office took some candy from like a lost mail, like an unclaimed mail. And he handed out to kids and it was little Snickers bars with weed inside of them. Oh, my God. But he didn't realize that. So everyone's like, oh, be careful, like, if someone gives you edibles. No one is going to give you edibles.
Absolutely.
They're expensive.
Not purposefully.
Right. No. Like, that is...
Not purposefully.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in the 90s, my parents definitely checked all my candy before I could eat it. But it wasn't like... They never said there will be razor blades in it. They were looking for, like, little holes in it. Uh-huh. And, like, if it had previously been opened and things like that.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. That's, like...
It's more realistic. Right. I never really heard about razor blades potentially being in your candy.
I mean, you hear about that kind of stuff when you talk about the Purple Church and things like that.
Of course.
So yeah, go listen to that. She goes way in depth. It's actually really good. Local food costumes. I don't know who submitted this, but I have to give a shout out to Judy.
Of course.
Who was a Brahms Cup 1 year, and it was an incredible costume.
Also, I mean, she suggested all the time City Bites.
The City Bites lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be a good one. She's so sexy.
That's what they say. The one that I want to suggest is the Del Rancho kid. Just because Del Rancho doesn't get enough love. And is it a kid? Is it a boy? Is it a like man? I don't know. He
Do
seems
you eat
male.
At Del Rancho?
It's been years.
Okay. Because Mike eats there all the time.
Really? I mean, of course, when I was little, I was like steak sandwich supreme, but now I'm like,
yes, that would be such a good costume.
Right. And he's very pale. So like you need to commit.
Actually, Mike could probably be the Del Rancho kid.
And he's got this huge hat on and he is blew the house down. Like he is like blue.
So he's got
a blue
hat, a blue like shirt, blue pants, brown vest, and like a red little tie around.
Like a red, like a neckerchief, like a, yes.
He's got brown gloves on and just a huge sandwich.
Which is important. You have to hold the huge sandwich.
Oh my God. I wish Halloween wasn't like 3 days away.
This is doable.
I could be the City Bites girl and he could be Del Rancho boy.
It'd be iconic.
God damn it. Yeah. Next year. Next, no one steal that idea. I swear to God, if someone steals that idea, I'm coming after you. That would be really, really good. Okay, what's next? What is next on our list? Okay, here's a good one. Favorite scary movies and favorite costumes. This is from Jasmine.
Okay. Favorite scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this, but when I was little, the one that always scared me was The Others.
Oh, yeah. That
and
was
I loved
a scary movie.
But it was really scary.
Yeah.
I can't rewatch it because I'm too scared.
That is how I am with two separate movies. First of all, The Sixth Sense scared me so much I threw up that night.
Okay.
And then... The other two movies that I saw when I was a child and I can't rewatch is Alien and The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Great.
I can't watch either of those. Those are very scary to me. But I did really, really love The Sixth Sense and I have watched it again.
I need to rewatch that.
It's very good. Okay. I always cover my eyes when the little girl is in the tent throwing up. Mm. I can't watch it. Like, I've never seen it again. Only when I was like in sixth grade.
Right.
Favorite costume
that
you've done, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Or like, maybe you've seen.
I've had some really iconic costumes in the past, but really last year I outdid myself and I don't feel like I ever have to do it again. My friend Morgan had a Britney Halloween party where everyone dressed as a different Britney.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I went as denim Justin and Britney.
That's amazing.
So I was wearing full like denim like Justin.
Uh-huh.
Just like... Harkening back to the simpler era. I had the earrings. I had the hat. I had, I mean, it was everything.
Yeah. My favorite costume that I've ever done is Honey Boo Boo.
Classic.
It was the best costume I think I've ever.
Timely.
Yeah.
In it, amazing.
I
never really, been done before.
Never been done before. I spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
I did a ton of bedazzling. I will post a photo of my Honey Boo Boo costume on Instagram.
Yeah.
And there is a video of me with like a huge Mountain Dew bottle with just like fucking tequila in it. Like
go-go juice.
I also threw up that night as well.
Of course.
Go-go juice. Yeah. So Honey Boo Boo was my favorite. I did really like the year that I was Snapchat filters because I had three costumes.
Yeah.
And I was the butterfly filter, the dog face, mm-hmm. and the teal bunny, which rest in peace. Like yeah. those filters, they're all gone. And like no one's on Snapchat.
Right.
Okay, next question. Have you ever eaten at a haunted restaurant?
Not to my knowledge.
I ate at the Haunted House restaurant in it's like kind of over by Lincoln. It's gone now.
Right.
But they did tell me a scary story.
Mm.
So we went for my parents' anniversary, and this was when they couldn't, like, leave me at home by myself.
Right.
And so you take a kind of a winding road through the woods to a house, and it's a steakhouse, and it was called the Haunted House Restaurant. And you go in, and we had dinner, but basically they tell you a ghost story about the house and something about running water. Like if you hear running water, like you hear the ghost.
Right.
And then you listen and they probably have a loop of it like playing, right. but it's like running water and you're like, oh, spooky.
Right.
So
that's fun.
Rest in peace, Haunted House Restaurant. You ate at Gabriella's. That's haunted.
Yeah, but I didn't know it at the time and I didn't witness anything. That's what they say though. But the other one I was going to say is like, I've done like murder mysteries where we've had like a dinner.
Did you go to Stone Lion Inn?
Is that the one in Guthrie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, that's haunted, right?
Yeah.
Great.
I have it on my next year's goals to go to Eureka Springs and okay. I want to take like a ghost tour and, mm-hmm. Go on, you know, like stay at a haunted hotel, things like that. I went on a ghost tour pub crawl mm-hmm. in Tulsa a couple years ago and it was really fun.
Yeah,
we got smashed. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't scary or anything.
Okay,
she just told the history of like all the different bars,
right?
So, and we were in the Brady district, which is like okay, so let's finish on some chocolate candy hot takes and best and worst candy. What are you, because you put in chocolate candy hot takes, what did you have in mind?
I mean, it's like, okay, so chocolate is like my family. I take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some candies just don't have a good chocolate content. Obviously,
like M&M's.
Yeah, Hershey's is a classic, but M&M's, the chocolate is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about how people like to put like, I mean, I am like, give me a Hershey's bar, just like straight up.
Yeah, I will go for it.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I will. I mean, I'll also do like a Snickers or something.
Do you break it or do you just bite into it?
I usually break it. I'm very much like, if there are perforated lines, I'm like the Kit Kat, like I need to.
Yeah.
Which brings me to Kit Kats, which I think are really underrated.
I love a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
And I was eating.
Don't do what you're about to do. Are you about to try to say that white chocolate Kit Kats are good?
Yes!
They're bad.
They are. Did I talk to you about this?
No, but I just knew it in my soul.
How did you know?
You probably like the orange ones. They're bad.
I like the orange ones. What about the green tea ones?
That's bad.
You just like straight up chocolate Kit Kat.
I want chocolate.
What about a big old Kit Kat? Like not the four bars, but
the
just
mega.
Like what? Do you like those?
It's still chocolate. It's still got wafers in it. I'm in.
Okay. Yes, Kit Kats are very good. I will always go for a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
I will go for a Twix first.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah. A fresh Twix.
Sure.
And then a stale Twix.
Okay.
Still good. and I'm like, okay with Reese's. Like,
no.
If it's there, I'll eat it.
No, that's it. That, like, I'm ready to rank all the different versions of Reese's. Like, that's it.
But what about a
chocolate
Reese's?
Chocolate with peanut butter.
What about a Reese's Fast Break?
Fine.
Those are so good.
They're fine.
I will pick one of those.
There's too much stuff in it.
No, just, they're delicious. Yeah. Do you like Snickers bars?
Yeah. I like the ice cream bar better when I was a kid. The ice cream
bar is lit.
It is, yeah.
I remember in junior high, mm-hmm. nobody taught me about nutrition.
Sure.
So my mom gave me lunch money, mm-hmm. and the cool kids didn't eat lunch in the cafeteria. Yeah,
they were in the commons.
We ate it at the vending machine. Duh. So I would get a Fruitopia.
Of course.
And a Snickers and like a bag of Cheetos.
Uh-huh.
How did everyone live?
No, I don't know. Everyone drank Fruitopia.
Right.
Or at that point, soda, which yeah. was way worse. And then they would drink, or then they would get the TGI Fridays. TGI Fridays potato skin chips.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They had to restock those so often because that's what everyone ate. And then Big Texas cinnamon rolls. I hate this state.
Why didn't you teach us about nutrition?
It's wild.
I have to teach my kid. Like, my kids will not be doing that.
Yeah, it's
what?
Crazy.
Okay, you teach at a high school. Do they eat like that?
There's not that many vending. I mean, there's a couple of vending machines.
Okay,
but like, no one can leave for lunch, and everyone has like cafeteria food. Okay. Like, you bring your lunch, or you eat the cafeteria food.
Okay, okay. So you're not like going out Mm-mm. to the commons and like Mm-mm. hanging out there. Okay, good. Good. Yeah. That's how it needs to be.
It's wild.
But I would always get a Snickers bar. That was like one of my favorite candy bars.
But that's actually, I mean, there's like, I know that it's not like nutritious, but if you have to choose something, at least it has protein. Yeah. At least it's going to keep you full.
Yeah.
Like, at least
it's got fat. It's got, you know, whatever. Yeah. I am the same way with like peanut M&Ms. I'm like, oh, these are like kind of healthy.
Exactly. I love a peanut M&M, but the slander against peanut butter M&Ms has gone too far.
What do you mean against
people
it?
People don't like them. They're why? Like, but why not just peanut? And I'm like, have you had it?
That's what we would always get on road trips. So I have like an emotional attachment to it.
Love a peanut M&M.
Yeah. Peanut butter M&M.
Peanut butter M&M yes. is the one.
Yes. The one.
It's the one.
The number one. Mm-hmm. But like the pretzel and the crispy and like
I
all that.
They're spicy. I'm like, okay.
I did have spicy Skittles the other day, and I was like, not bad. They were not bad.
I've had spicy Starburst that were good.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it lingers.
You got that little.
Mini M&M.
Yeah. Oh, I will just like just pour it.
Drink the whole thing.
I'll just pour it into my mouth. I love M&Ms.
Yeah. They're good, but the chocolate is not that good.
Right. I agree with you.
And if Hershey's Kisses weren't so much work, like I would rather eat those.
If the only thing that's there is a Hershey's Kiss, I'll eat it. But I'll go for something else.
Don't tell me that you eat the swirled Hershey's Kisses with the white
or the caramel.
I guess my hot take is that white chocolate is bad.
Okay, it just is. It's fine. I like it. It's fine.
It's like candy corn. It doesn't.
It doesn't taste like anything except for maybe a little bit of vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah. My boyfriend's sister had a huge bowl of Halloween candy in her house when I was watching her dogs. I was like, how did you?
I can't.
I just eat it all.
I'll immediately.
And she's like, I just buy the stuff that I don't want. But it had like white chocolate Kit Kats and like M&Ms, like all sorts of stuff in there. I was like, I have eaten 15 pieces of this.
For my birthday, Shelby got the mini Reese's.
Okay.
Like the ones that are a little bit taller. Uh-huh. And they have more crispy edges.
Nice.
Which I love. And she makes these cookies where basically she makes chocolate chip cookies, puts the Reese's in the middle of it, and it just folds up around the sides.
Yeah.
That's the best food I've ever eaten. Yeah.
Tweet us your favorite chocolate Halloween candy.
Gotta know.
We don't really care about any other.
I don't. I mean, I like sour's gummy, fine.
I like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
But right. We can't afford that.
No.
And I also like gummy bears.
Yeah.
But when it comes to fine. Like Starburst, Skittles, all those. Leave them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
We did it.
We did Spookacy Over Easy. Thank you for listening to us for an hour. The next episode is going to come out on November 4th on Sunday. And that is my 30th birthday.
Everyone, just tweet her happy birthday.
Yes. I can't wait. And thank you to my champagne sponsors, my big Kristen Peterson and... my friend Annie and Amber, they donated champagne for this next episode. So thank you to them. And thank you for being here.
Of course.
Everybody go follow Bryce on Instagram.
Yeah, sure.
Bryce Waller. Go listen to Screaming with Bryce and follow the Screaming with Bryce Twitter account because he's got some hot takes on there.
That is still active, even though the podcast is not.
I love it.
I'm keeping it up because Ariana's going on tour, y'all.
Oh, are you going
to
go?
I have to.
So I asked for my birthday for tickets to Leon and
of course, Jess.
So hopefully.
Praying.
He was like, can I go? Should I go with you? And I was like, I guess.
You're like, does it matter?
Does it matter? So Bryce, thank you for being here. As always, you can follow me at OKC Over Easy on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and overeasy.blog. I'll be blogging these next 2 months, but I will not be posting podcast episodes until middle of January. So come say hi to me over there. And thank you guys for listening. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there. Don't find any razor blades in your candy. And we will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Stay spooky.